Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Jill, and I'm the Manhattan Beach Campus Pastor here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Also, hello to everyone over at our Torrance campus. Now's the time in our service where we join live together. We get to have this shared experience this morning. Also, anyone watching online, maybe you're cozy, you know, surviving the weather today. We're glad that you're here and that we can be together. We are in the second week of a series of messages called You 2.0. And in this series, we're focusing on three character traits that we don't often hear about or might be a little underdeveloped in us, that if we can grow in them, if we can use them to shape our life, we'll have a clearer understanding of who God is, how God has made us, how we can connect with one another, and how that can make a difference in the world. Because unfortunately, sometimes Christians have the reputation of being cranky, or mean a little bit sometimes, or close-minded or judgmental. And when we look at Jesus in the Bible, he doesn't reflect those kinds of character traits. And so where are the spaces that we can continue to grow and that shapes how we reflect God out into the world? So last week, Pastor Jason spoke on the trait of curiosity. And today we'll be adding to that list this one, self-reflection. Now, self-reflection is the process of becoming curious about yourself. It's looking deep inside and saying, what motivates me? What am I feeling? What am I thinking? How do I relate to others? How does the way that I'm made shape the way I experience the world? How does that shape the way others experience me? It's looking deeper and trying to get a clearer picture of who each of us are. And as I was thinking about reflection and reflecting, I really just had this small moment of gratitude for my favorite mirror. I have a favorite mirror. This is what it looks like. It's kind of hard to take a picture of a mirror. I know that this doesn't look very impressive. I bought this mirror 20 years ago for probably $20 at the Walmart near my college in Oklahoma before I moved into my dorm room. And you might be wondering, why have I carried this across the country and moved it from place to place to place and still have it all this time later? It is because I've never looked bad in this mirror. Truly, it is insanely flattering. And so I have kept it with care and protection. And I know the difference between a good mirror and a bad mirror because I have this other mirror in my house that we maybe got at a circus supply store. I don't know how I look shorter in that mirror than I really am, or at least I think that I am. So I try to avoid the circus mirror. But if I see myself in it, I go back to the Walmart mirror to make sure the fit is fitting before I leave the house for the day. And that's probably more information about the mirrors in my house that you ever needed. But I think it's interesting to see how what we are reflecting into might be a distortion of what we understand about ourselves. We might be looking into a mirror, and the reflection that it's giving us might be inaccurate. I hope this is accurate. I hope the way I look in this mirror is accurate. But in our image-centric culture, we are really prone to focusing on and working on the things that we can see in a mirror. Our appearances, our success, the things that we have, the way people experience us. We look to those things to better understand ourselves. But sometimes what we see in the mirror is not reflecting an accurate picture of who we are inside. And so that can create a disconnect. It's a disconnect that we may feel with ourselves, and it's certainly a disconnect that we can begin to experience and feel towards others. And so have you ever thought to compare how much time do you spend shaping those things that you can see or are reflected in a mirror versus the time that you spend shaping the things that are going on inside? And what difference does it make? How could a regular practice of self-reflection help us to be that 2.0 version of ourselves in the way that we are reflecting God out into the world? So this is our main idea that we're going to talk about today. We should become well-practiced in self-reflection. And as I talk about self-reflection, I actually don't want you to imagine your reflection in a mirror. I want you to think about what your reflection looks like in a window. Because in a mirror, we are all we can see. We can't see past the mirror, and so it develops this over-focus on ourselves. Now, sometimes that leads to a very critical view of ourselves. We only see our flaws and we only see our mistakes. We can become very self-conscious about those. Or sometimes we choose to reflect on the parts we love, so we ignore the rest. We only think about the parts that are pleasing to us and to others, and that also can create a false projection of who we are. When we stare into a mirror, we can't see beyond into what God might be doing in the world and in our lives. So now imagine looking at your reflection through a window. Your image is still there, but the focus shifts, the perspective shifts so that you can see yourself, but beyond that, you can see the world. You can see what God is doing in others. You can see in how God is doing and how what God is doing in you can make a direct impact on those around you. Staring through that window shows us the kind of reflection that we can regularly practice that will give us that true understanding of how God is shaping us and how we can make a direct impact on the world around us. And so today we're going to talk about three reasons why we should become well-practiced in self-reflection. Here's the first one. Self-reflection brings us closer to God's true view of our lives. What do you use to view your life? What a big question. And how does your connection to Jesus change the way you view your life? This has been a question that believers for centuries have had. And so when we look in the Bible, there's a man named Paul who was one of Jesus's earliest followers. And so he writes a letter with some advice to these early Christians on what shapes their life. How do they understand this view of their life in light of God's role in it? Here's what he says. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. So often when we are trying to understand the view of our life, we don't go to God. Instead, we go to those things that we can measure, or we go to those things that can help us feel good about ourselves. We go to the things that we wish define us. But sometimes that there's deception in those things. Those things can't always show us who we are. They're simply showing us what we do. So how do those things shape us if that is no longer the way we view our understanding about our lives in the world? Well, Paul goes on with this alternative. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So Paul is saying, now you view your life and your role in the world as created to be like God. That looks like being righteous and being holy. This is how we view our life. And he even offers us the way we continue to see our life being shaped by these attributes that are in the image of God. And it's through this word, renew. Now, what's interesting about this word is if you look at the original Greek word that we have translated to renew, you'll see that it's the only place in all of Scripture that this exact word is used. So we should pay attention to understand what it really means. So when you look at the grammatically at the word that Paul wrote, there's two things about us that, about the word that can help us understand. The first is that it's written in present tense. That means that it's an active process. It's not complete. Renew means to be continually refreshed, continually shaped, continually transformed. The fact that it's an ongoing process means that you're not there yet. And that's okay, because we keep going back to God and the Spirit to renew us. The other thing about this word is it's written in passive voice. When something is written in passive voice in the Bible, it means that this is a process being done to us. Not that we are renewing ourselves with our own strength and mindfulness and inner clarity. We can't do this process to help us become like God. That's the Spirit's work in us. So through the work of the Spirit, we can see and understand this view of our life. And we should be running this process as often as we change our clothes. We can be opening ourselves up in self-reflection to God. And coincidentally, at the same time, I'm also reading a book that I found that is about feedback. It's about how to give and how to receive feedback. And what is self-reflection if not feedback from God, direct feedback from Him? And so the idea of this book is that feedback puts us at a really unique crossroad, a crossroads of needs that we all have as humans. The first is that we do all have a desire to be the best versions of ourselves. We want to grow. We want to improve. We want to be contributing to things. The other need that we all have is the desire to be loved just as we are. The desire to be respected, the desire to be known, the desire to be cared for deeply. And so feedback sometimes feels like you have to choose between those two needs. Do I want to be accepted or do I want to grow? But the thing about God is that He meets us right at the very middle of that crossroads. God loves you more than you could ever imagine. And God wants to continually shape you to be the best version of yourself. We don't have to choose between the two. We can be known and we can be loved and we can be shown the spaces that we need to grow. And we don't have to fear when God steps into this process with us. Oftentimes we don't step into the process of self-reflection because we don't trust God. We have got to trust that when He's going to show us something about ourselves that needs attention or needs growth or needs change, it's not to harm us or to destroy us or hurt us, but it's to heal us and to help us and to shape us so that we're truly experiencing Him in how we interact with the world. Paul also wants to help these early believers really grasp the depths of God's love for them, and it's true for us too. Let's read this from Ephesians 3:18. He says, "And may you have the power to understand all, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God." We can't even fully know how much God loves us. God knows us completely, entirely, every part of us, and still He loves us beyond comprehension. What a great place to start the process of self-reflection. Being so sure that God wants to make you complete. God wants to give you a foundation for living that's rooted so deeply in His love for you. So would you take that foundation and then confidently move in to self-reflection? Here's a first action step for this week. Reserve time for the difficult task of self-reflection. Self-reflection is hard. It's hard to do. It can take time. And in our world, we're moving so quickly and we have so many things to distract ourselves. It's really easy to never carve out space or time for a difficult task like self-reflection. It's also difficult because sometimes we're afraid that we might learn something about ourselves that we don't want to change, or something that we think we can't change. But the good news is, just as we've learned from Scripture, it's not about what we can do for ourselves. It's about what God can do in us when we open our postures and trust that He will show us how to be more like Him, how to be more righteous and more holy in our daily lives. And so you can confidently know that it's safe to self-reflect with God. So start by reserving 5 minutes a day and just say, in that 5 minutes, I'll say, God, where am I growing and where am I not growing? Right? Or maybe you grab a journal and jot down some thoughts, or maybe if you need to process externally, grab a friend and say, hey, I just want to start talking about ways that I can better reflect God's love into the world. And there's this really cool verse in the Bible that can help lead and guide us as we start this process of allowing God to reflect into our lives. It might be familiar to you. It's from Psalm 139. There we go, 23 and 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. The author of this prayer is an ancient king. His name was King David. And in his life, he did a lot of really great things. He also really struggled with his sinful nature and he blew it a lot of the time. But we can see his posture here in this verse of trusting God. He's saying, God, you know me. You see into the spaces that sometimes I deny. You see into the spaces that I'm not even aware I need to grow. Show me those things, anything that offends you. Point it out. So he's trusting that God will truly show him those things. But even more than that, he's trusting that God will give him a plan forward. God will show him this to save him from this. God will reveal him his anxious thoughts to give him a way out of those ancient thoughts. We can begin to pray this prayer and ask God to truly show us where do we need to grow. And that's the second reason why we should become well-practiced in self-reflection, and it's this. Self-reflection is the starting line for growth. Now, you cannot change something that you're not aware of. And you will not change if you do not think there's anything left to improve. And if you think there's nothing left to grow in, I would invite you to look again. Because all of us, we have these deeper things. Now, sometimes we avoid self-reflection because we do look at the surface thing. We say, my job's pretty good, my relationships are fine, you know, I'm doing the right thing most of the time. I'm good, so I don't need to self-reflect. But as you really mature in faith, as you really understand how righteous and holy God is, you begin to understand there's no way I can get there. I do need to continue reflecting and growing and let God shape who I am for the sake of how I interact with the world. So how do we begin to become aware of those growth areas in our life? Well, the best place to start is inviting God into the process, like we saw in the Bible. But here's another step. Awareness. Now, this is simply starting to notice. What do you say? How do you feel? Does what you feel match what you say? Does what you feel match the current situation? Why did you think that? Why did you react that way? Right? It's paying attention to who you are and what is going on in you. An example from my life is that I realized once I got into adulthood that most of my friendships, they were staying kind of at a surface level. And I realized through interacting with other people are more willing to share vulnerably about their lives than I am. I'm regularly holding back parts of myself that feel like a normal thing to offer up in a friendship. That's what I was growing in awareness about when it came to my life. So after you're aware, you move into understanding, because this shows you what's happening. Understanding shows you why it's happening. Why did you jump to that feeling? Why did you raise your voice? Why were you destroyed by a simple comment that someone made? You look at what it is and try to understand why it's happening. And so I knew that I had an avoidance to vulnerability in my friendships. And so I really was trying to understand why. And my thinking brought me all the way back to when I was 11 years old. And I went to a sleepover and I told this one friend, and I'm not gonna tell you her name in case she's watching. She's not watching, but I won't tell you her name. I told her all my secrets, because that's what I thought you do at sleepovers. You share your secrets with your friends and it's this wonderful thing. Well, then she went and she told the whole seventh grade everything I said. And I had never understood betrayal until then. And I didn't know what it was like to feel exposed to so many people who didn't know me and didn't love me until then. And that experience was so formative to me that when I felt vulnerability, betrayal was right behind it. I could not risk vulnerability because it meant betrayal and exposure and embarrassment and all of these things. And when I began to understand that, then I could see what I needed to do. So you become aware of what's going on, you understand why it's happening, and then you look at the impact. Because it's not just about yourself, it's about the impact it's having on your relationships and experiences with other people. How is what I'm saying impacting the person I'm talking to? How is the way I dominate conversations getting in the way of how I can grow in friendship with people? For me, it came down to recognizing that I was never gonna have deeper relationships if I wasn't willing to risk being vulnerable. And so I had to ask God to help me discern and feel trustworthiness from friendships, to recognize that not everyone I want to be friends with is a seventh grade girl who's gonna backstab me, but they're new people. They're these new chances. I was going to miss out on rich relationships with new friends if I kept holding on to this past hurt. So we do all of this work to understand what's going on, because then that gives us that starting line for growth. Where do I need to be changed by God to better reflect Him in the world? So here's this next action step for you. Let self-reflection and God-reflection paint a new vision for your life. You can be made new. You can heal past hurts. You can become aware of what it's like to be around you, and then you can partner with God to make a difference. You can form new actions, new responses, new rhythms, so that you're better able to reflect God in all your interactions. Let's go back to that list. We should be regularly running through this process when we're in meetings, when we're having disagreements with our partners, when we are on sports teams, when we're talking to our kids, when we're talking to anyone, really. How can you run through this process? It's not like a year-end review where you check in with God and say, how am I doing? And it's not like a quarterly progress report where it's like A, B minus C, right? This should be a regular, everyday, almost every moment occurrence that we're working towards self-reflection. And I actually saw a really clear picture of what it could look like if we depend on God moment by moment. And it came through watching my daughter play softball. So last year, she was 7, and out of nowhere, she had this desire to play softball, so we signed her up with all of her friends. She was actually pretty good at it, so she was invited to play on the all-star team. And her favorite position was pitcher, and I loved it because it was coach pitch. So there was no pressure of being a good pitcher, but she got to field almost every single ball. Now, before the tournament began, they went over the basics with her of what her best contribution looks like, how she can watch the field, what she can do. But there was no way for her to possibly know every single thing she needed to be a pitcher. And we saw that in the plays, right? So the ball gets hit, she fields it. She could have reached up and tagged the runner, but she didn't know she could. So the runner just blazed right by her. She threw the ball. The runner got to first, and she was safe. And the coach said, hey, great job fielding it. Next time, you can tag the runner. Just tag him, and then she'll be out. It'll be so easy. So then the next time the ball gets hit, she fields the ball. The runner's just past her. She chases the runner the whole way to first. But the runner gets there first, so she's safe. And the coach is like, hey, great job. You did exactly what I told you about, but only tag the runner if you can reach her. Throw it if she's ahead of you. So my daughter's like, okay. The very next play, the ball comes straight to her. She grabs it. She reaches up and tags the runner, and the inning is over, and we all go crazy. It was this precious moment. This is actually her. She got chosen to be MVP. That's her little medal. Yes. She's so proud of herself. And I was blown away because I was watching her become a better pitcher while she was pitching. She didn't become a perfect pitcher at the end of this game, but she became better with every single play because of the way she listened to the coach, because of the way she overcame her mistakes, because of the way she made tweaks and adjustments to how she played. We saw her grow and get better. And I like to think that that's how God can shape us. If we're so attuned to his voice, how can he nudge us, or how can he redirect us in all of our interactions and all of the things we do throughout the day? I imagine it's a little bit, let's take her adorable picture off so that people will actually listen to me and not stare at how cute she is. Okay. I imagine that if we're partnering with God or viewing God as our coach, it looks something like him saying, yeah, what you said was true, but next time, let's be a little kind. Or, I see that you're feeling angry. Do you think maybe that's revealing something that's hurting inside of you? Or, really, really good job showing up today. Next time, would you bring your mind with you? Ooh, sorry to strike a chord. How can God be so in tune with us and the things that we cannot see so that we're receptive to how he would coach us to make little adjustments to better reflect his work in those deeper part of our lives? It could make a difference everywhere. As specifically, it could make a difference in the way we have relationships with other people. That's the third way that self-reflection can help us, and it's this. Self-reflection breaks down the barriers that keep us from rich relationships. We all want to have rich relationships. We want to have friendships that go beneath the surface. We want to have families that can get along even if there's a disagreement. We want to have friendships that we can just enjoy this life with, even if we don't agree all of the time, even as it's complex and hard. We want people to walk alongside, and still sometimes we don't know why we don't have them. And so self-reflection helps you see the barriers that might exist in your own spirit and in your own heart that you can work to remove so that you can have rich relationships. Jesus actually speaks about this in one of his most famous sermons when he says this. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Now, Jesus is using very exaggerated language here to show that all of us are pretty good at seeing what's wrong with everyone else. But he's saying, don't focus on that. Focus on you. Address that giant log in your eye so that you can see people clearly, so that you can understand the situation clearly, so that you can uncomplicate your relationships so that they can be rich and meaningful. And so I was trying to think through some of the common barriers that can exist in us that keep us from rich relationships. Here's the first one. Past hurts. This one was like me. I was hurt when I was 11, and it affected the way I experienced every friendship for a really long time. Maybe you have been hurt, truly, by someone. I'm so sorry that happened. How can you see that hurt and take it straight to God and ask Him to heal it so that you don't treat everyone the way you need to treat the person who hurt you? Here's the next one, insecurity. Sometimes we believe, am I worth being liked? Am I worth having friendships? Am I lovable? And so in those insecurities, we put out this image of ourselves that we think is worth loving, that we think will be popular, that we think will get along. But then what's happening is that person we're putting out there isn't a reflection of who we are. And so you can't have a rich relationship if you're not honest with who you are in those. Here's the next one. Comparison. Sometimes we don't know what we think about ourselves, so we decide what we think about ourselves by comparing ourselves to other people. It becomes a best house competition, or a best job competition, or a best well-behaved kids competition. Or we start to see people as in competition to us, as opposed to focusing on how can we connect with them. Here's the last one. Pride. Sometimes our own pride is wrecking our ability to have rich relationships because we think we know everything. We're not willing to listen to the people we're in relationship with because we want to prove that we're right. Sometimes we need to let go of our own pride, replace it with empathy, replace it with the ability to truly learn and grow and not assume that we know what's best all the time. Now, this is not a comprehensive list. These are just the first four that I thought of. Maybe you see yourself up here, or maybe there's something different, some other hidden barrier that's keeping you from having rich relationships. Those are the types of spaces that we invite God into to help us become aware and understand and know the impact so that we can grow into better versions of ourselves, so that we can continue to better reflect who God is into the world around us. And while we're doing this, while we're all committed to this hard work of self-reflection, this next action step, I think if we get good at this, it could really change who we are as a faith community. It's this. Would you open up about your self-reflection to grow trust with people who need your vulnerability? As we're committed to this process, let's share what God is doing. Don't hide those vulnerable spaces that God is at work in your life, because it's limiting the trust that you can have with others, and it's limiting the trust that others can have with God. That's the advice I wrote to myself in my journal this week. I even need to get better at this. We have the opportunity to show the power of God through the work He's doing in our life. And when we show that process, even before it's finished, we give other people the opportunity to see and understand how God can work in their life. We can all work towards better reflecting who God has called us to be and the process that it takes to get there. I would love for our faith community, for Journey of Faith, to be known as a group of people who are real about following Jesus. About the fact that sometimes it's messy and we don't always get it right, but we stay connected to God, we stay open to growth, we stay renewed continuously every single day by His power in us. What would that look like so that anyone from the South Bay could walk in and know, I'm accepted here and I'm loved so that I can grow? Let's use this opportunity as self-reflection to show our neighbors and our family and our friends just exactly what God is capable of, because the way he's changing us through the process of self-reflection. Here's what we talked about today. We should become well-practiced in self-reflection because it brings us closer to God's view of our life. It's the starting line for growth, and it breaks down the barriers that keep us from rich relationships. We get to close this morning out with a song today. So you're gonna start to see the bands come out both at Torrance and here. Before we sing, would you go ahead and stand with me now before we sing this song? And it's a great song to step into self-reflection. You can use this song as just a couple of minutes to ask God to lovingly show you the spaces that you need to do a little bit of work. And as you sing it, it's all about Jesus and what Jesus can do. And so would it be a reminder that it's not about your own ability to make yourself new, but it's about leaning in and trusting in what God is doing in you. Let's pray together. Dear God, make us capable of understanding the depths of your love for us. How wild that we can't even grasp just how high and wide and long and deep that is. God, from that place of your love, help us to confidently challenge ourselves in those growth areas. God, help us to boldly address those sin spaces in us that maybe nobody sees. God, help us to remove those barriers that keep us from you, or keep us from relationships, or keep us from truly reflecting all that you're capable of. Wow, how much you love us. Let us take that love and be changed by it so that we can just shine it all over the world, that they might see and know that you love them and you want to change their lives too. In your name I pray, amen.